जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
साजियत कृष्ण चैतन्य श्रीरत्नाग्रनट जहा जेन से जगत चित्र जगन्नाथोपि विस्मिता
मेड सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य हु डांस्ड इन फ्रंट ऑफ द कार ऑफ श्री जगन्नाथ बी ऑल ग्लोरिफाइड बाय सीइंग हिज डांसिंग नॉट ओनली वाज द होल यूनिवर्स हेल्ड इन वंडर बट लॉर्ड जगन्नाथ हिमसेल्फ बिकेम वेरी मच एस्टोनिश्ड
जय जय श्री चैतन्य श्री जय जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद
ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू अद्वैत चंद्र ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द डिवोटीज ऑफ लॉर्ड श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु
जय श्रोत गण सुन करे कमान रत यत्रय नित्य प्रभु परम महान
All glories to the listener of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please hear the descriptions of the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Rath Yatra festival. His dancing is very enchanting. Please hear of it with great attention.
Aridina Mahaprabhu haya shavadana ratre uti ganeshange kaila pratashnana.
The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates got up in the dark and attentively took their early morning bath.
Pannu vijay dikhi bore kurila gaman Jagannath jatra kaila chadi simasan.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates then went to see the ceremony of Pandu Vijay. During this ceremony, Lord Jagannath leaves his throne and gets up onto the car.
Apani prataparudralaya Patragana Mahaprabhura Ganakara Vijay Darshana.
King Prataparuda in person as well as his entourage allowed the Pandu Vijay ceremony to be seen by all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Advaita Nityadi Sangya Bhaktagan Shukhe Mahaprabhu Dekhe Ishvara Gaman.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his prominent devotees, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu and others, were happy to observe how Lord Jagannath began the Rath Yatra.
Balista Daita Gana Jena Mata Hati Jagannath Vijay Kare Kari Hata Hati.
The very strong built Daitas, carriers of the Jagannath deity, were as powerful as drunken elephants. They manually carried Lord Jagannath from the throne to the car. Purport. The word Daita refers to one who has received the mercy of the Lord. Lord Jagannath has a number of stalwart servants known as Daitas. These servants do not come from very high caste families, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, but because they are engaged in the service of the Lord, they have been elevated to a respected position. Thus they are known as Daitas. These servants of Jagannath take care of the Lord from the day of the Snan Yatra up to the time the Lord is carried home from the throne to the Rathkar. In the Kshetra Mahatmya, these Daitas are said to come from the Sabaras, a caste that keeps and sells pigs. However, among the Daitas, there are also many whom from the Brahmana caste. Those Daitas coming from the Brahmana families are called Daitapatis, or leader of the Daitas. The Daitapatis offer food such as sweetmeats to Lord Jagannath during Anavasara, the resting period after Snan Yatra. They also make the early morning offering of sweetmeats daily. It is said that the Anavasara Lord Jagannath suffers from fever, and that the Daitapatis offer him infusion of drugs represented by fruit juice. It is said that in the beginning Lord Jagannath was worshipped by the Sabaras and was known as the deity Nilamadava. Later, when the deity was established in the temple, the Lord became known as Jagannath. Because the deities were taken from the Sabaras, all the Sabara devotees were elevated to the position of Daitas. It is said that in the Satya Yuga, that is a very long time ago, considering Kali Yuga lasts a period of 432,000 years, and then Dwapara Yuga is double of that, Treta Yuga is three times of that, so adding that all up, Satya Yuga is a long time ago. So at that time there was a king named Indrajumna, and this king Indrajumna, he had a desire to see a very famous deity of Krishna that he had heard about. And this deity was supposed to be amazing. It was a form of Krishna. There was nothing like it. But somehow or other, it had been a long time since Nila Madhava, that deity, had been seen. The deity had disappeared quite some time ago. So, but Indrajumna Maharaj had developed this desire. He wanted to see that deity anyway. So he sent different representatives all over the place to go look for that deity. He said, it's got to be somewhere, in some place, that deity still has to be there. Therefore, he sent different devotees out to find the deity. So one brahmana named Vijayapati, he was looking and looking everywhere, and it just, no success at all. So then, he was somewhere in a village, and although he was a brahmana, Vijayapati, in this village, actually, the people were tribal people. Even up to today, in the state of Orissa, in India, there are many tribal people. And so they are not part of the Varnashram. They are not in the position of brahmanas, vaishyas, kshatriyas, or anything like that. They are simply counting as jats or tribal people. All right. So somehow or other, this brahmana had no other place to stay. So he stayed with these people, and he stayed with the head of the village, the local king. And in the process, staying in his house, he was trying to find out in the area if there was more to find out about Nila Madhava. In the process, the king, the village king, had a nice daughter. And, you know, from one thing came another. Yesterday we spoke about romance, and there was too much of romance, right? Too much. He married that daughter of that village king. He couldn't find that deity, and he just gave up about the idea of even trying to. He just stayed in that village. But then, after a while, he sort of noted that every day his father-in-law was leaving the house, and he was clearly taking with him paraphernalia for puja, collecting flowers and so on. It was clear that he was doing some puja somewhere. So then he sort of asked his wife, and he said, where is your father going? She said, oh, he's doing some puja. Oh, yes, okay. What puja is he doing? He said, oh, he's worshipping some deity somewhere. He said, okay, what deity is that? Oh, there's some deity named Nila Madhava. Nila Madhava? Nila Madhava? No! Really? Wow! Nila Madhava! He's going like, Nila Madhava. Oh, I said, oh, you like Nila Madhava? He says, yes, oh, I like Nila Madhava too much. I want to see Nila Madhava. Oh, I have only one desire, to see Nila Madhava. Anyway, the whole story came out. You know, he told his wife that the king wanted to see Nila Madhava. He'd been sent by the king, and the wife was on his side, of course. And then she said, okay, I'll talk to my father, and I'll see if he will let you have darshan of Nila Madhava. So, please, no way. Daddy, please. Please. And then she started crying, and you know, the ultimate female weapon is the tear weapon. And no man, right? You know, it's an exceptional man that can resist that weapon. So Vichapati, the sucker, said yes, right? He said yes. And he said, but on one condition. On one condition. I'm only taking him blindfolded. Blindfolded I will take him, so that he will not disclose to anyone the whereabouts of my Nila Madhava. So it was known that Nila Madhava was being worshipped somewhere in a cave hidden in the forest. So anyway, alright, she agreed. So Vijayapati was to be blindfolded, but his wife, she sewed in his cloth, there was a pocket that she made there, and she sewed mustard seeds in there, and there was a little hole. And as he was walking, a few mustard seeds were falling out. So as he followed Vijayapati to the cave, the mustard seeds fell on the ground, right? And in this way, the mustard seeds later on sprouted, yes, and became plants. Anyway, that's later. Vijayapati came to the cave, saw Nila Madhava, and it's just amazing, amazing. I mean, never in his life did he see anything like that. He was in ecstasy, jumping and dancing and thinking about what he was going to tell the king, and he came back home, and father-in-law could sort of see that his son-in-law was getting a little bit too enthusiastic after having had the darshan of Nila Madhava, and he smelled that something is going on. And then, after a little while, Vijayapati said that he had to go and visit some relative somewhere, and the Sabara king was thinking, like, something fishy going on. Anyway, then, you know, sure enough, Vijayapati told the king. The king was in ecstasy. Maharaj Indradyumna arranged a whole group to go, and they mounted horses, and he rode the horses. They came to the edge of the forest, and the mustard seeds had grown up. And I don't know if you know anything about mustard seeds, but the plants of mustard seeds have yellow flowers. So there was a yellow line right through the green forest. So that was pretty easy. The horses were following the yellow line deep into the forest, and they jumped off their horses, came to the cave, and Maharaj Indradyumna himself in front entered into the cave, and it was completely empty. But the traces that a deity had been worshipped were still there. So Maharaj Indradyumna was totally burned. You go like, oh no, I mean, I came all this way and I thought my desire was going to be fulfilled, and now this. He said, look, I am too sinful. I am so sinful, I'm not allowed to see this deity. Therefore, I shall give up my life by fasting. So he was fasting, and then everyone else also fasting, and big drama. But then in the dream, in the dream of Maharaj Indradyumna, Nila Madhava appeared, but he was moving. And he said, my dear Maharaj Indradyumna, said, I'm not meant to be seen in this age of Kali. I'm not meant to be seen in the future. It wasn't the age of Kali. I'm not meant to be seen by the people of the world. I will be seen now in another form. So I will appear in the form of, from the ocean, in the form of Daru Brahman. Daru Brahman means the wooden Brahman. Yeah, wooden Brahman, Daru Brahman appeared. So the king had this dream and, well, didn't know what to make of it. But sometime later, he was bathing in the ocean. And as he was bathing, suddenly he got hit by a big log of wood. Daru Brahman, he grabbed his wood, held on to it, called this man, and they all pulled this huge log on the side. And then, then I said, well, a deity has to be carved from this wood. So he called for the best carvers, but somehow or other this wood was so hard, no one could carve. Their chisels just broke. So it's like, what to do? This is impossible, this wood. But then one old man came. And this old man said, yes, I can do it. I can carve this deity for you. But I have some conditions. And he looked like an exceptional old man. Something about him, you know. So the old man said that I will carve this deity in a closed hall which cannot be opened for 21 days under no condition. Under no condition may the doors be opened for 21 days. TK? No. No problem. Yes, that's all right, the king said. Fine. So then the old man entered into the hall, closed the doors, and they could hear lots of hammering and chiseling outside all the time, and everyone was waiting, first day, second day, third, fourth, fifth, and so on. On the seventh day, no noise, completely quiet. Everyone was listening, what's going on? There is no more carving going on. Then the queen said, the old man, he must have had a heart attack or something. You know what I mean? He's really old, he was chiseling there. We must go and see. The king said, no. He said, we cannot open the door. She said, yes, but this is an emergency. Anyone can understand that something must have happened. We heard him working like anything. The work has stopped. Something is wrong, I tell you. We must go save him. We must check it out immediately. Open the doors. So then the king opened the doors. They went inside and the old man had disappeared. And then he saw three forms of three deities. But, they were not finished. They had no hands. They had no feet. So Maharaj Indrajumna felt very bad. He said, again, I've blown it. I've made a big offense. I've opened the door. Fool that I am. He told not to open the door. Still I did it. Idiot that I am. And now the result. See the result. The deities are not finished. So again, he's thinking, what to do. But again, in his dream, the Lord appeared and said that, no, it was his arrangement. That he appeared in this form, and that this was the form of Lord Jagannath, and actually that was his form, that was his original form. And in this way, the forms of Lord Jagannath Krishna, the forms of Subhadra, and the forms of Baladev appeared. Of course, the forms of Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra are not, it is not that they came about at that time for the first time. Because the forms of Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra are eternal forms. And therefore, these forms, they're sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. So then they come into being again and again, and then they disappear for some time, and then they are coming into being again and again. This is what is going on. And there is another story, and the story is that when Krishna was staying in Dwarka along with his brother Balaram and his sister Subhadra, at that time Krishna was feeling great separation from Vrindavan. So much so that Krishna, he could no longer tolerate it. He could no longer tolerate it. And news came to him. News came to him that the residents of Vrindavan were just dying in separation from him. And Krishna was also in separation. It is said that Krishna then went in Vrindavan to meet Srimati Radharani, who, as he had heard, was dying. It is said that Krishna came to Niruvan in Vrindavan, and that in Niruvan, there, she was lying down on a bed, waiting to give up her body. And it's said that when Krishna came there, that he became very ecstatic. And when he became ecstatic, his eyes became very round, big. It said his limbs started to disappear into his body. And he looked exactly like Jagannath. And then Balaram and Subhadra had followed. And when they came and saw Krishna in that state, they also became like that. So in this way, we see that actually that form of Jagannath is not an unfinished deity. It's a finished form of Krishna. But Krishna in the ecstatic form. Therefore, Lord Jagannath is ecstatic. He's an ecstatic deity. Everyone has noticed that Jagannath is ecstatic. We know that very well. Therefore, Rati Yatra is all about ecstasy. It is about ecstasy. The dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in front of the chariot was incredible, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would throw his body into the air. And he would literally throw it into the air in long movements, right? Not just, but sometimes very fast. Sometimes he was spinning. And he was spinning so fast that it looked as if his arms made a closed circle. Extremely fast. But he would jump up extremely high into the sky. His arms raised, all curved. And then sometimes he would just crash down to the ground. He'd forget to land. He'd just crash, and everyone think that he'd break all his bones. It's just too much. But then he would jump up again and do it again. And then Nityananda just started to stand next to him and catch him in midair. Just catch him, that he wouldn't crash on the ground. And then put him on the ground, and then he would just jump back up. And then tears started shooting from his eyes. It said as if his eyes were like a syringe. It was just squirting out. Everyone was getting wet, soaked. So many tears. How could he cry so many tears? I mean, where's all this water coming from? No one could cry like this. No one could dance like this. Everyone was dancing. It was just amazing. The best singers were there. And somehow or other, in the kirtans of Lord Chaitanya, he chose the dancers, and he chose Advaita Acharya as a dancer. Advaita Acharya was 52 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at this time in Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must have been in his late 20s. Plus 52 puts Advaita Acharya at 70 years old. He's like a main dancer. Yeah? And chose him as the main dancer. Right? And another main dancer who was also much older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, maybe 35 years older, was Haridas Thakur. And he was also such a dancer. But these two, Advaita Acharya and Haridas, were so ecstatic. Advaita Acharya, he was known as Advaita Simha, Advaita the Lion, because when he would roar, right? When he would roar in kirtan, it was so loud. It was just so loud. Everyone just became fearful, like when a lion roars. Therefore, his name was Advaita Simha, Advaita the Lion. And he was dancing in such an ecstatic way. So the entire kirtan was amazing. Everyone was incredibly effulgent. Right? They were totally effulgent and chanting the holy name. And then Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Radharani, bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. And he was dancing in front of the chariot, and he was just at one point just couldn't even say Jagannath anymore. And all he was saying was Jaga, 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 Jaga. And just like that, jumping. And then the chariot stopped. And the king tried to somehow or other got these big wrestlers, big guys, you know, huge arms, etc., on the ropes, and pulled the chariot, and it wouldn't move. And then the king brought elephants, and he put elephants to the ropes, and with chains, they pulled on the chariot wouldn't move. Nothing could move the chariot of Lord Jagannath. Then Lord Chaitanya went to the back of the chariot, and very lightly, with his head, gave the chariot a push, and it started to roll down the road, and it moved on its own, and the ropes were lying loose in the hands of all the people. They were just not even pulling, and the chariot was just moving. Then Lord Chaitanya went back to the front, and again dancing in front of the chariot, bringing Krishna back, bringing him back after such a long time. Now Krishna back to Vrindavan, and it is said that those who pull that chariot will also go back to Vrindavan themselves with Krishna, and in this way become residents of Vrindavan. So it said anyone who just sees Lord Jagannath, his material life is finished. Anyone who pulls the chariot even gets more mercy. Anyone who dances and chants in ecstasy in front of the chariot, right, from beginning to end, right, such a person will dance, will become an associate of the Lord, who will dance with the Lord in the spiritual world, in a spiritual body, a body that never gets tired, a body that is full of unlimited energy. That's what we're talking about. Rath Yatra is very much built on ecstasy. Now, because Lord Jagannath came from that village of the Sabaras, this tribal village, Sabaras were actually keeping pigs. They were a village that was keeping pigs. And why would anyone keep pigs? You don't keep pigs to milk them. Cows you keep for milking. But pigs you obviously keep for another reason, right? So this village was keeping pigs. Right? So they were not considered very very high class. But because Vijapati was there, and because there the whole thing was revealed about Daru Brahman, the wooden form in which the Lord would appear, then therefore King Indrajumna also allowed these villagers who had been worshipping Nilamadava and had been accepted by Nilamadava to continue worshipping the deity. And in this way, these Sabaras, they became known as Daitas, but who by the mercy of the deity were allowed. Then we hear there were these Daitas who were big, strong guys. They would carry the deity, because Lord Jagannath in Puri is enormous. So they have these silken cushions, and they put them all, line them up. And then the Daitas, they have silken ropes, and then they carry the deities by ropes. And then they sort of go from cushion to cushion. They lift a little bit, boom. Lift. Boom. And they make also these noise. It's like, in this way, they somehow or other carry that deity. It's not so easy. Then they have a ramp that goes up the chariot. Lord Jagannath's chariot is enormous. It has 16 wheels under the chariot. It's like a ship with a big deck on top. In the front, there are wooden horses. And this big chariot, they have a ramp, and they carry the deity up. Right? And then, you know, as the deity is going up, suddenly the deity sort of fell backwards, and the Daitas, they were under the deity, and one Brahmana came and said, "Lord Jagannath, this is not a time to take rest." It's time to mount your chariot. So somehow or other they carry the deity upon the chariot, and have the deity there on his chariot. And like that, gradually, Lord Jagannath is on his chariot. Oh. People wait for a long time before he finally comes out. Right? Hours and hours, you never know when he comes out of the gate. Yeah. He comes out of the gate of the temple, and it's just, you just don't know when it's going to happen. But, you know, at one point, all these brahmanas come with gongs and they start to bang these gongs. Extremely loud. Right? And it goes on and on and on. And everyone's waiting and waiting. Is it going to happen now or what? Right? But nobody goes away. And then finally the doors open. And then Jagannath comes out. So in this way, and mounts his chariot. But this year, the year that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, it was different. Because usually the people are so eager to see Jagannath. And there are like, the streets are like just black of people. Because there are just thousands, millions of people. Millions. Just people everywhere. And the chariot is decorated with banana trees. Many green banana trees on the chariot. And then it is said that Jagannath was looking. Normally, as we know it, we are looking at the deity. Oh, everyone's looking at Jagannath. But Jagannath was looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing. Jagannath could not believe his eyes. It's just like such dancing had never been seen. Even he was eager to see. Even Krishna himself wanted to see himself dancing in this golden form. So Krishna was dancing in this golden form, and at the same time Krishna was watching himself dancing in this golden form. And he was getting double ecstasy in this way. He's getting the ecstasy of dancing and getting the ecstasy of watching the dancing at the same time. Krishna can do like that. Advaitam achyutam anadi mananta rupam. He has unlimited forms. He's still one and the same Lord, but he has unlimited forms like that. So in this way, Rati Acha is such a festival of ecstasy. Yes, because Lord Chaitanya knew very well, Krishna cannot be happy. He cannot be happy outside of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the place where he belongs. Vrindavan is the place where everything is designed for Krishna. And therefore, Krishna can only be happy in Vrindavan. Therefore, Krishna had to go back, had to be brought back to Vrindavan. That's it. You know, how could he be in Dwarka? That's not the place where Krishna is at home. In Dwarka, Krishna is in separation. In Dwarka, Krishna can never be satisfied. Although Dwarka is so opulent, there are 16,108 palaces. Every queen has its own palace. These palaces are beautifully lit up on the inside with jewels. Not by electric bulbs. No. Not by the electric bulbs. No. By jewels. By jewels that shine so bright. Jewels in the walls, jewels on the ceilings, intricate decorations. So much so that the whole palace was lit up. Different colors of marble, blue, lapis lazuli stone columns that also shine. Right? Onyx, green marble benches with silken cushions, inlaid with gold and various decorations. I mean, the opulence of Dwarka is inconceivable. Beautiful gardens, beautiful waterfalls, and so many arrangements. And there, Krishna can never be happy. Never. Even in that celestial atmosphere of Dwarka, where there are beautiful animals, beautiful birds and cranes and so on. Even in that beauty of Dwarka, Krishna is not satisfied. Because in Vrindavan, the way Krishna is served, Dwarka doesn't compare. In Dwarka, Krishna is seated in royal fashion. Oh yes, every day he is there in the Sudharma assembly house, a place which was given by Indra. There Krishna is sitting in this assembly house, and no one, whoever is in this assembly house, will never get any older. There you don't get old. You just stay in there, stay the same. Convenient place. No disease. Nobody dies in that place, ever. So it's a good place to be, kind of. And there Krishna assembles every day, and he sits on a throne. And to his right, a little bit towards the front, is King Ugrasena, who Krishna put back on the throne, and after he killed Kamsa. And then next to Krishna on the left is Vasudev, his father. Right? And then there are other important personalities also seated there on thrones, like Satyaki and other prominent personalities. And in this way, they sit there in their royalty. And no one has seen, no one has ever seen such kings. And everyone is just amazed. You know, just like every country has some tradition of royalty. Now, in modern times, we have democracy. Prabhupada called it demon crazy. We have democracy, and now the government, it's no longer having any glory. It's like, you know, okay, you see these cars driving by, lots of sirens, and okay, there's some big government official driving past in a car with dark windows, you know. We saw one yesterday. But in the past, there were kings, right? Kings with royal thrones. Kings dressed in opulent dress. Right? Here in Africa or anywhere in the world, there were kings. But no one had ever seen a king. Kings like Krishna. Therefore, everyone who saw it was just amazed to see the opulence of Dwarka. And the closest friend of Krishna was Uddhava. Uddhava was his cousin. And Uddhava, he looked a lot like Krishna. Very similar. And he was also wearing yellow dhoti and so on. He had lotus eyes. Looked a lot like long arms. Looked like Krishna a lot. And Uddhava was a disciple of Brihaspati. And Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods. The demigods, they are much more learned than we are. Therefore, Brihaspati, as the guru of the demigods, was so learned that his disciple Uddhava also was extremely learned. And therefore Uddhava, because he was so learned, he was very tricky also. And he could speak to Krishna in codes. In a very subtle way, he was speaking in codes. And no one could understand what Uddhava was saying except Krishna. And in this way, they had all their secret conversations going on while all the others are sitting there. What are Uddhava and Krishna talking about? I have no idea. So, like that, Uddhava was so close to Krishna. And in Dwarka, therefore, Uddhava counted like the biggest devotee. But at one point, Krishna sent Uddhava as a messenger to Vrindavan. And when Uddhava saw the residents of Vrindavan, he saw that these residents of Vrindavan, they were like completely mad. He came to the house of Nanda and Yasoda. And when he came there, then Yasoda was saying, how could you let him go? To her husband, Nanda Maharaj. Again and again, how could you let him go with Akrura? How could you let him go? How could you? And then Nanda Maharaj would say, you mad woman, don't you know that Krishna went to the forest?
with his coward boyfriends and that he will come back tonight? Don't you know, you mad woman? And they would talk, how could you? How could you? How could you let him go? You mad woman. You mad woman. Don't you know that Krishna has gone to the forest? You know, how could you let him go? How could you, mad woman? How could you let him go? So like this, Uddhava was watching how Nanda and Yasoda were like just caught up in this madness. And he realized they're both mad. They've gone completely mad. Mad in separation from Krishna. They cannot bear it to be without Krishna. They've gone mad. They're just thinking about him every moment in such intensity. And Uddhava suddenly realized, I have no devotion at all. I thought I was such a big devotee. And therefore Krishna cannot stay in Dwarka. He cannot stay in Dwarka because the residents of Vrindavan are mad after Krishna. Mad. I mean, they just cannot live without Krishna for a moment. Not for a moment. All of them. The Yamuna started to dry up. Just went dry. The cowherd boys, they felt they had fallen unconscious in the forest when Krishna left. And Sridham said, if Krishna's not going to stay in Vrindavan, I'm not staying in Vrindavan. And he left Vrindavan. And Sridham is the brother of Srimati Radharani, close friend of Krishna. Like this, all of Vrindavan was just thinking of Krishna. All of Vrindavan was just mad about Krishna. Nanda and Yasoda could not live in separation of Krishna. Everyone was in separation of Krishna, and the one who was in separation the most was Srimati Radharani, who only lived by the rope of hope. She would have died for sure, but what if he would have come back after all? So she couldn't die, because in case Krishna would come back, although she didn't believe he would, but she couldn't die, although she felt like dying. So she stayed alive, but just on the edge, in separation. And now it was Rath Yatra. And now, from Kurukshetra, where there was an eclipse, right? And where everyone had come to meet Krishna there, yes? And, you know, Kurukshetra is a holy place, and a solar eclipse is very inauspicious. So Vasudeva had this idea, let's do a yajna here, a big sacrifice to ward off the inauspiciousness. Then everyone from Dwarka went to Kurukshetra, and a big arena was built for a big yajna. And just then, Nanda also arrived. And when Krishna saw Nanda Maharaj, he just lost it. He went beyond himself, and he saw Nanda, and Nanda saw Krishna, and they just only saw each other, and they were just like beyond themselves. And Vasudeva was looking and saying, like, wow, I've never seen Krishna acting like that. He never even did act like me, you know, with me like that, his own father. I mean, and then he's thinking to himself, well, but I guess it's not surprising, because he stayed there for a long time in Vrindavan with Nanda Maharaj, although Nanda is not his real father. Right. And Krishna just was so eager to go back. And Nanda Maharaj said, when will you come back? And Krishna said, well, I just have to kill a few more demons. Just a few more demons. No, just a few more. And then I'll come back. Then I'll be right back in Vrindavan. Can't wait. That started after he killed Kamsa. After he killed Kamsa, Krishna wanted to go back. So Kamsa killed, let's go back to Vrindavan. And then the Yadus, they said, wait a minute, where are you going? Where are you? I'm going back to Vrindavan, to my father and mother. Right? He said, no, you can't go anywhere. Your father and mother are here. Vasudeva and Devaki are your father and mother. And a celestial voice said that the eighth son of Krishna would kill Kamsa. And who killed Kamsa? You did it. You are the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And now you've left only an old king, Ugrasena, who's going to protect? Who's going to protect the family? Who's going to protect your parents? The enemies will come. You'll have to stay. Oh, no. So, and then, Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj, well, you know, I can't really come. I have to stay. I will stay for a while to kill a few more demons. And he kept on saying it.
again and again. More, and now in Kurukshetra, he said it again to Nanda Maharaj. Just kill a few more demons. And the yajna was going on, and when the gopis heard about this few more demon thing, you know, and now it's enough, you know. Now it's enough. He's just got to kill a few more demons. Forget it, right? Forget it, you know what I mean? No more demons, no more killing. You're going home right now. And they grabbed the reins of the chariot and started pulling him back. All this is going on eternally. All this is going on again and again at Ratiyatra. Who has the eyes to see it? Very few. But even those who cannot see it, right, even they can sense the ecstasy. There's something ecstatic about it. Something. Exactly what it is, we don't know. But it's just ecstatic. And we just got to do it again and again. And in this way, eternally, this pastime is being performed again and again of Jagannath Rath Yatra. Okay. Any questions? Any comments?
It said that, you know, the pastime of Krishna leaving Vrindavan and coming back after he was not addressed is only happens in the material world. And in the spiritual world, Krishna always comes back, you know, always goes back to Vrindavan. So when does it happen that if he's always like going back?
Yeah, in the spiritual world they don't do it. No, that's just here. These kind of not in the same way. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but like in Vrindavan there is no Ratiyatra. That's for sure. Only outside of Vrindavan is Ratiyatra. So in the spiritual world, in Golok Vrindavan, there is no Ratiyatra. Like that's why in Vrindavan we never perform Ratiyatra. Cannot do it. It's to be performed outside. That's all I know. Who else?
I want to know, can Krishna kill all the demons that are up there?
In a snap. If he wants to. It's not difficult for Krishna to kill demons. That's obvious. He's all powerful. He can do whatever he like. The only reason why he personally kills demons is to give faith to his devotees. Krishna doesn't have to do that either. If he wants, and all the demons just disappear. Right? That's easy. But he kills demons personally so that his devotees can really see he's protecting us. He's protecting his devotees. So to give faith to the devotees. But obviously, Krishna also likes to have some demons around sometimes, just for fun. Yeah? You know, Krishna likes to. He's very powerful, very strong, so sometimes he needs to, you know, have a bit of a wrestling match. So beat up a few demons, you know what I mean? When you're strong, you feel like, sometimes you feel like beating somebody up. You know? Okay. That's kind of natural. So Krishna also has that. Anyone else? So Ratiyatra is the chariot festival where Krishna goes on the chariot and his chariot is pulled by the devotees. And the roots of it is that story where Krishna was away from Vrindavan and where they grabbed his chariot and pulled him back. So we're commemorating every year, we're remembering that, you know. So we're doing that. So Ratiyatra will happen on Sunday, day after tomorrow, in Soweto. And, you know, it's... And so Way to Ratiyatra is special because it has good dancers. So dancers are coming from everywhere. And it's going to be like incredible dancing competition. And you're going to see moves and maybe even make moves. You're going to see moves you've never made before, make moves you've never made before. And therefore, you know, somehow or other, don't miss Ratiyatra. And just speak to Manasi. And there must be a way that you can go to Soweto Ratiyatra. And you can bet we'll be there. Oh yes, we'll be there. Rubber feet and all, you know. Kind of bounce around. And Lokanath Maharaj is coming, and he's like one of the best kirtan leaders in the world, right? I mean, it's like when he's singing, it just drips with ecstasy. It's just, his voice is dripping, you know, it's like, it's just dripping with the voice. It's like, ooh! Ooh! Everyone's like, oh! It's just like, God! And he starts singing, it's just like, oh! Phew! And it's got a good beat. Oh! It's got an incredible beat, so. It's he takes it away, doesn't he? And he goes for a long time. So it promised, and this is the first time that Lokanath Maharaj is coming to Soweto Ratiyatra. He's never been, but we got to give him the time of his life so that he will come back to Soweto Ratiyatra. So everyone, bring your dancing shoes, okay? Strap them up and let's go. He's already exercising, getting in shape, stretching. That's the spirit. Mm-hmm.
So how long has Ratiyatra been going on
for? Ratiyatra has been going on since Satya Yuga, says the Skanda Purana. But you know, it took on another dimension 500 years ago. Because 500 years ago, that Prem Sankirtan started to be added. When Lord Chaitanya and his associates came and started to do that amazing kirtan. Otherwise, it's been going on with lots of banging on gongs, but not the same kirtan, you understand? So that's since Lord Chaitanya, that kirtan is there. So the last 500 years, Ratiyatra's got a special flavor. Absolutely. And of course, when Lord Chaitanya was there, those Ratiyatras were out of this world. But even the ones that we have now that sort of are still echoing that kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it's been going on since the Satya Yuga, and I'm too lazy to calculate that. Ram Govinda Maharaj, he knows these numbers by heart. He can rattle them off. Like I have to calculate it. I can't remember. Huge numbers. Yeah. Many, many million years ago. Long, long, long before your mother was born. I beg your pardon? No, it must be the fifth or the sixth. I mean, I can calculate. I mean, can't, huh? Fifth. He thinks it's the fifth. Excuse me. The fifth. 2007? Maybe in 2007 we started, huh? Yeah. Fifth Ratiyatra. Finished? Finished. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai.